Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. This is episode 227. It's wonderful to be able to open up God's word for another day and into another week. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Matthew again through to chapter 21, thinking about the clearing of the temple. As we turn to that, let's just close our eyes in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you welcome us to come to you. Thank you for your word. We pray now that as we open it up, that you would give us eyes to behold wonderful things, that we might worship in your word as we see Jesus. We do pray this in his name. Amen. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. This is a passage which is just wrought with emotion, isn't it? I wonder if you've ever wrestled with this story and thought to yourself, Jesus sounds really, really angry. Jesus sounds really, really passionate, if not, dare I say it, grumpy. I wonder if you've ever thought, this doesn't sound like Jesus. In fact, some people have suggested this is probably something made up by the disciples because it doesn't sound like Jesus. And yet, we know that it's true because it's in the Word of God. So what's going on? Why is Jesus so riled up? Why does Jesus come in and cast people out? Why does Jesus come in and turn over the tables and kick over the chairs and open up the cages and let the animals go and drive everyone out of the temple? What's going on that's making Jesus respond like this? Well, to answer that question, we have to step into the mindset of the temple. And what I mean by that is we have to understand why the temple was there and what it was meant to be. The temple wasn't just an arbitrary building. The temple was given for a very specific purpose. It was given so that the people might be able to draw near to God. It was given as a place of God's presence. It was a symbolic representation of God dwelling with his people. But it wasn't just symbolic. God said, if you will dwell with me, and if you will live, and if you will follow these laws, and if you will do these things, if you will walk humbly with me, I will keep my covenant, and I will do what I've promised to do, and I will dwell with you. He says, I will dwell with you. He makes a covenant with them. He sets them free. He redeems them. He tells them to walk humbly with him, and he says, I will dwell in your midst. And as he set forth the rules for his dwelling place where he would be with his people, he made special provisions for different groups. There was a place for the high priest only. There was a place for the priests. There was a place for the men. There was a place for the women to draw near. And there was a place for the Gentiles to come and seek God. Because the covenant of God, the promises of God to Abraham, and to his Old Testament people were always intended to spread the blessing of God to the nations around Israel. That was always the purpose. It was to start in Israel and spread forth to the surrounding nations. But Israel so often didn't get that. And so here we find the court of the Gentiles. That's the area Jesus is driving people out of. The court of the Gentiles, rather than being filled with Gentile worshippers of God, it is filled with tables, money changers, and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And so Jesus walks in and he looks at the place which was set aside so that the nations could draw near to God and find salvation, find redemption, find God, worship God, seek his help, seek his aid, see him glorified. And he sees that it's become a market. He calls it a den of robbers. The reason he calls it a den of robbers is because what the Pharisees have turned it into. You see, what they had done was they had said that there was only one type of coin that will be accepted at the temple. And it was not the common coin of the people. Therefore, when you came to the temple, well, you would need to change your money, wouldn't you? So it would be very good if you had someone that was standing there who could do the money exchange for you. Very convenient. And if you've traveled a long way, you know, you can't travel a long way with a sheep or a lamb or a pigeon. So it'd be very useful if there were animals there for sale. And, you know, the fact that we make a small profit on it doesn't matter, does it? We're just trying to feed our families. Just like at the airport when they helpfully change your money to another currency. Oh, we're just being helpful. Meanwhile, making an absolute bomb off you. You see the problem, don't you? The place which was to be the gathering of the nations, the place which was there for relief, help, aid, had become a place where the lowly were being taken advantage of. People would come with their two small pennies, and they'd lose one of their pennies and only be able to give one because of the taxation and the interest. They were being taken advantage of in the house of God. And we're reminded of that passage in Ecclesiastes which says, "Beware when you go to the house of God, for even there are the wise and the fool." They were being abused in God's house. Do you understand why Jesus was so angry? He's offended. He's offended for his Father's sake, for his own sake, for the glory of God's sake. This place was to be the symbol of God's glory, but instead, it was a place of reproach. It's a little bit like in Samuel. We looked at it on Sunday morning, but in Samuel, you find Eli and his two sons, and it says that Eli's two sons acted in such a way that it caused everybody else to show contempt for the sacrifice. You see, their actions led everybody else to look at the sacrifice and say, "Bah, it's no nonsense. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I know how we're treated when we go to the temple." And so it's the same reality. They had taken the beautiful gift of God in the temple and twisted it and abused it so that people were beginning to despise the presence of God with his people in the temple. And we can do the same. You know that. So it's very easy for us to wag our heads at the Pharisees, but we can do the same thing. When we live godlessly and go to church on Sunday and put our fancy clothes on and act like we're wonderful, we're doing the same thing. When we are filled with hypocrisy, we are doing the same thing. When we go to church for our glory, for our honor, our pride, our needs, we do the same thing. We turn the worship of God's meeting place into a den of the praise of men. When we go to church and gossip and backbite, when we go to church and we ignore the weak and the lowly, and we ignore the downtrodden, and we show favoritism to the ones who are well-dressed and neglect those who struggle with bad BO. Their body odor's bad. Maybe they've been smoking the night before and they stink. When we do that, we do the same thing as the Pharisees. And yet Jesus comes to set us free from these things. Jesus set the temple free from these hypocrites and set the Gentiles and the lowly of heart free to worship God. And he'll do the same thing in our churches. You remember he warns one of the churches in Revelation, I will come and remove your lampstand. If we will not honor God in the church, in the way he wants himself honored in the church, we can expect Jesus to come and clean the house out. What does Jesus find when he comes into our churches and into our hearts? Does he find the dwelling place of God or the dwelling place of men? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and we do pray that you'd help us. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us not to focus upon ourselves, but upon the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in for another daily devotion. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.